Good afternoon. You're here with Bike Sport Radio, where we talk about bike racing, bike racers, and what you need to race bikes. It's Monday, September 13th, 12 noon, and you're here with Kill Radio, killradio.org. Real quick, we've got a fundraiser for Kill Radio coming up October 2nd. Live concert. There's going to be four bands, and it's going to be in the downtown L.A. area. That's October 2nd, the Kill Radio fundraiser concert. Don't want to miss that. We need your support here at Kill Radio. Today's show, we're going to have race results reports from the Giro de San Francisco, U.S. Cup cross-country mountain bike championships. Also, we've got race results from 50-miler multi-park race off-roading in San Diego, brought to you by Racers and Chasers. And we've got race results from the LA Velodrome Track Championships, and we're going to have some cyclocross race talk about techniques and methods on cyclocross by Mickey. That's going to be coming up in a little while. Let's go to some race results right now. We've got race results for the LA Velodrome yesterday and the day before yesterday. That was September 11th and 12th. Men's sprints rounding out the podium. Third place going to Now MS Society is Kit Carson in the men's sprints. Justin Williams, second place, riding for Trek Livestrong. And the win going to Jimmy Watkins, running for Momentum Cycling, powered by Hawk Relay. In the men's points race, scoring 24 points in third place, very close points race. Only a couple of points separating the top three here. Colt Peterson from Bike Religion, second place with 26 points. Race Labs U23 Cycling Team's Ian Moore, and your winner with 27 points, Now MS Society's Danny Healy. In the men's, Kieran. That win going to Jimmy Watkins. Men's Pursuit, Danny Healy picking up third place. Second place going to Ian Moore. And your winner, Daniel Harm, riding for Broadmark Capital Cycling. Men's Team Pursuit. Team Pursuit, the winning team, Roman Killen, Austin Carroll, Brent Kay, and Daniel Harm. A composite team. In the Men's Team Sprint, your win being picked up by Anthony Galvan, Dan Reback, and Jack Lindquist. The men's scratch race. Third place going to Now MS Society's Danny Healy. Second place going to Trek Livestrong's U23 Iggy Silva. And your win, Now MS Society Kit Carson. Men's Kilo, third place. Philip Elbaz. Second place going to Kit Carson. And your winner from Herbalife Lagrange, Quinn Hatfield. In the Madison, and this is an awesome race to watch, once again, Dan Farina and Colt Peterson, second place. Cody O'Reilly and Iggy Silva picking up the win in the men's Madison. And finally, in the women's points race, picking up the win was Hannah Alves-Hyde, followed by Jen Reether for second, and third place going to Jennifer Weinbrecht. And the women's pursuit, your top rider there was Bellap Racing's Elizabeth Newell. And again, that was the LA Velodrome race results, September 11th and 12th. Complete details at lavelodrome.org.
Hey, Brad, nice to see you.
Hey, Jen.
Wow, this looks like a new little system on the back of your truck. What's up with this rack here?
Yes, it is. That is the Rackster Duopod. Holds two bikes.
That's fantastic. And what's so special about this rack that's different from others?
Ah, well, it's nice and low, so you don't have to lift it up real high. You're still using one of those roof racks?
I am. And I'm going to tell you, I get so tired of putting my bikes on top of my car, and I've heard nightmare stories about my friends running into their garage and blowing up their forks and stuff because they forget that their bike's on top of their car.
That'll never happen with a Rackster rack.
Now, I'm kind of a low-budget bike racer. What's the price range for these things?
Ah, this is the Duopod. It's only $269.99. How about that?
That's good. Now, sometimes I need more than just two bikes. I sometimes travel with some in my car. Do they have something more than just the Duopod?
No problem. The Rackster Thorax holds three bikes, same concept as the Rackster Duopod, and it's only $449.
Wow, I got to tell you, I really like this. Where can I get one?
Well, you'll also like it because of its lightweight. The rack itself is light because it's got composite materials in the swing arms, and you can get them in Southern California at dealers in Poway, Irvine, Costa Mesa.
Great. I live in Northern California. Is there a complete list of dealers that I can find where the Rackster is?
Yes, there is. You can find more dealers at RacksterRacks.com. That's R-A-X-T-E-R, Racks, R-A-C-K-S.com.
Wow, Brad. Thanks so much. I can't wait to get one. Nice rack.
Thanks, Jen. Okay, a little dead air space. Sorry about that. Moving a little slow here after yesterday's adventures. We got some more race results. I was high yesterday, I'll admit it. Higher than I've ever been. 11,500 feet, to be exact, at the top of San Gorgonio Mountain. That was a blast, hiking out there. No bike. Kind of wish I had my bike, but instead I had some great company, including that of a atmospheric plasma physicist, I believe he called himself. James, if you're listening out there. So it was a great hike. All right, more race results coming at you here. In the U.S. Cup cross-country mountain bike racing, brought to you by H2 Overdrive. This was the Specialized Invitational Finals and Cal State Championships cross-country results at Benelli Park. Pro men, Vincent Lombardi taking the podium third place position. Second place, Sean Donovan, riding for KHS 650 crew. And your winner, riding for Shower Specialized, Sid Taberly. Category 1 men, 17 to 18, whole athletes Zachary Valdez was your winner. Category 1 men's 15 to 16, Bear Valley Bikes' Casey Williams picking up that win. Cat 1 men 19 through 24, Brian Crooks taking the win there. And in the Category 1 men's 25 to 29, rounding out the podium in third place, Trinity Bikes' Shane Johnson. Second place, Mafia Racing's Felt Bicycles' Nick Dutch Army. And your winner from Bike Religion, Anton Petrov. The Category 1 men's 30 to 34. Third place going to Brandon Gritters, riding for Showair Sonance. Don's Bikes of Rialto's Brandon Gritters taking second. And Showair Specialized Ty Caddy getting the win. The Cat 1 men's 30 to 34. Category 1 men's 35 to 39. Oliver Hutchinson from Team Helens taking that win. In the Category 1 men's 40 to 44, Todd Booth, riding for Platinum Performance, was your winner. Category 1 men's 45 to 49, a name from the past Showair Sonance is Johnny O'Mara, picking up that win. In the men's 50 to 54, rounding out the podium in third place, Bike Empire's Randy Lichty. And it was a Platinum Performance sweep for second and third. Second going to John Biron, and your winner, Bobby Langan Sr., both with Platinum Performance. Cat 1 men's 55 to 59, Dean Swank was your winner from Bear Valley Bikes. And in the Category 1 men's 60 to 64, Bikes for Life's Bob Blattner picked up that win. And in the 65 plus, Category 1 men, Montrose Bikes, Robert Lamas picking up that win. Cat 2 men's 14 and under junior racers, Christian Husband picking up that win.
Brandon Kirkham was your winner in the Cat 2 men's 15 through 16. And in the Category 2 men's 17 to 18, Merrick Mitchell from Moore Park. The Category 2 men's 30 to 34, DJ Clausen was your winner. Category 2 men's 35 to 39, Dan McCormick picking up that win. In the Category 2 men's 40 to 44, Monster Media's Derek Swinford was your winner. In the Category 2 men's 45 to 49, Outer Circle Racing's Alex Tino. Category 2 men's 50 to 54, Shoer Sonnen says Robert Rogers picking up that win. Category 2 men's 55 to 59, riding for Bike Palace, back on track, James Riley. Category 2 men, 60 to 64, Bruce Ramsey from Santa Clarita Velo was your winner. And in the Clydesdales, 35 and over, Chris Marciguera, riding for Jocelyn's, was your winner. Cat 3 men's 15 through 18, Kyle Skeen for Creative Contours was your winner. In the Category 3 men's 35 to 39, Jack Schluckbier was your winner. Cat 3 men's 40 to 44, Terry Gaylord was your winner. In the 45 to 49, Cat 3 men, Ty Swartz, riding for Show Air, was your winner. And in the Pro Women, rounding out the podium in third place, Team Possibilities, Joy Dirksen. Second place, SoCal Endurance's Heather Renoa. And your winner from Rock and Road Cyclery, Allison Mann. The Cat 1 Women Juniors, 15 through 18. Picking up that win was Essence Barton. In the Category 1 Women's 19 through 29, Carol Boland, riding for Tri-Sport, was your winner. Category 1 Women's 30 to 39, Stephanie McCormick. In the Category 1 Women 40 to 49, riding for Show Air, Heidi Volpe. And in the Category 2 Women, ages 30 to 39, Denise Henderson was your winner. Category 2 Women's 40 to 49, Lana Newsom. Cat 3 Women 30 to 39, Yenny Vergara was your winner. And in the Junior Men 10 and under, rounding out the podium, Jonah Sanchez, third place, Jag Barton, second place, and your winner, riding for Van Tassel, Nathan Hickey. Junior Men's 11 to 12, Ben Barrett was your winner. And Junior Men's 13 through 14, getting that win was H2 Overdrive's Hunter Oliver. And finally, in the tandems, there was also a tandem race. All Pro Bicycling's Phil and Gina Kelly picking up the tandem win. That was the U.S. Cup Cross Country Finals at Benelli Park on September 12th. Full details at uscup.net.
All right. All right, we are on the air now with Iggy Silva. How you doing, Iggy?
Just finishing working out. And first, I'd like to say, Brad, it's awesome to be on here with you. You've been a great supporter of, you know, not only kids and bike racing, but also my boy. And I got to, you know, say thank you for all that.
Thanks. Yeah, you were at the, and he was at the, it was a nationals qualifier for track racing at the LA Velodrome, right? Tell us a little about the race. And
Well, like I was telling you earlier, I called him Friday night and I said, hey, son, where you at? He goes, you coming home? He goes, no, I'm up in LA. I had no idea, you know. So the answer to your question, I believe it was a pre-qualifier. You know, asking Iggy a question is like pulling teeth out, so I don't bother asking him, you know. So,
Of course, nobody wants to talk to Dad at his age, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry? What's that?
Nobody wants to talk to Dad at his age.
Of course not. No. And, you know, they don't listen to the dads. We don't know anything. Yeah. But if another dad talks to other kids, they listen, which is great.
Right.
So, anyways, so I believe it was fire. A lot of the people who are there probably used it as a pre-warm-up.
Right.
For the Elite, Pro Elite Nationals, which will be September 29th through October 3rd at 80. Depot Center. Wow, look at that. I plugged everybody in.
Nice. Yeah, right here in Los Angeles, the 2029th.
That's right.
Sport Radio, I believe we'll be there, 2029.
Awesome.
I think we'll
and so I know, you know, of course I got to, you know, plug my boys in there. And I know Friday he finished fourth in the points. Saturday, I'm sorry. And then Sunday he finished second in the scratch.
Second in the scratch, that's right. We saw his name.
I'm sorry?
We saw his name in the results, yeah.
Yeah, and then Kit Carson won it. And then Cody Inigi won the Madison.
Oh, yeah, that was Madison Racing, too. Madison's really cool to watch, definitely.
So. Oh, it's awesome, man. And it's so great because when you got, you know, these pros and elite riders coming out there, it is so exciting. It's like fast forward on a bike.
Right.
You know, and you got to be on it. It's an incredible race. It's incredible. And, you know, it's funny because I had a plug kid in here. You know, I told him he likes me to tell him stories because he gets a little butterflies and nervous before a race.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm his storyteller. And I said, look, dude, if you're going to be going around my son like that, I'm not going to tell you any stories. But I'm just kidding. Anyways, so anyways, anything else?
No, just sounds like it was a great race, and we just want to let everybody know out there that, you know, spectating track races is awesome. It's, you can see the whole race unfold. It's really a great spectator sport, huh?
Yeah, it's really awesome. And you know, Brad, you know, I'm a man from above, and I have to just say, you know, God is doing all this for us, and everything that is happening is just incredible. And for any kids out there or parents, you know, don't rush anything. Things are going to happen when they're going to happen, and that's just the way it is. And one more thing, you know, I always say a prayer before Iggy races. Anybody's welcome. And I always wish for safety first for everybody, and may the best man win. And, of course, I always ask God, you know, throw a little extra for my boy. So I just wanted to end it with that, if that's okay. As I'm, you know, riding, getting back to my bike, you probably hear cars around here. So, you know, Brad, you've been incredible. You've known us for 12 years, going on 13.
Has it been that long? Wow.
It's been that long, dude. It's been that long. And, you know that I'm always going to ask, and I don't go away, people.
Yeah.
As people know, but I try not to pest, but, you know, you just, and the kids, you know, go out there and do your best and never stop. You know, that's all I can say. And I just want to thank you, Brad, for all the support that you've been doing, putting on races for so long. I mean, you know, you were always waived our fees, and you've been all about not only the sport but kids. So I thank you for that. You know, it touches my heart, and if I keep talking about it, I may cry. So I'll let you go on that note.
Hey, it's you know, cyclocross. We got our urban cyclocross coming up this Sunday. Racing's free for juniors, ages 18 and under.
That is awesome, man. I don't have a car.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm on a bike. So
no worries. We do have a race in San Diego. October 30th, we are racing in San Diego. That's right by the velodrome there, the day before the
Are you going to be down?
I'll be down there. Yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, you know, we only live a mile away, so.
Sweet.
And you know me, if you need me for anything, use me, man. I got energy to burn.
Sure.
You know,
it's the Adams Avenue Cyclocross, part of the Urban Cyclocross Series, and they're providing pretty much all the help and running the event themselves. I'll just be helping out with announcing and loaning the equipment, and it's part
awesome.
Of the Urban Cyclocross Series right the day before the big San Diego bike swap meet, too. So.
Yeah, those are my boys. Adams Avenue has always helped us out big time.
Maybe we can get him on a borrowed bike or something. He can give it a try just for fun. And,
hey, I'm all about fun, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. All right.
Brad, once again,
calling.
Thank you. Thank you, and God bless, man.
You too. Same to you.
Okay.
Ciao.
Bye.
See ya.
All right, Iggy. That was Iggy Silva and his boy races track. National champion, too, Iggy Silva Jr. Let's get back into some race results here. We've got race results from the Giro de San Francisco, which, by the way, Northern Cali Van, Nanner, 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 two Southern California riders won, the pro women and the pro men. Sergio Hernandez picking up the pro men's win and in the women, Tara McCormick. So here's the race results for the Giro de San Francisco. The Giro de San Francisco held on Labor Day, September 6th. Featuring races for all categories.
in the men's pros, picking up third place from Davis, riding for Yahoo Cycling Team, Philip Mooney. Second place, Bissell Pro Cycling's Eric Wahlberg. And your winner, right from Southern California, local boy, now MS Society's Sergio Hernandez. Women's Category 1 and 2 and Pro. Rounding out the podium, third place, Touchstones Climbing's Mary Elizabeth Maroon. Second place, going to Dolce Vita Cycling's Kimberly White. And your winner from Team Tibco and also from Southern California, Tara McCormick. So what's up with that? We send our best riders up to San Francisco, the Giro, and we show them how to do it, huh? Winning the pro men and the pro women. Congratulations, Tara McCormick and Sergio Hernandez. All right, in third place, rounding out the podium for men's category three, Studio Velo's Scott Penzarella. Second place and first place, Rio Strato Racing sweep of second and first. Matt Connolly in second and Mike Carr picking up the win. Category fours and fives, Andrew Alanis riding for Peninsula Velo was your winner. Masters 35 plus, category 1-2-3s, rounding out the podium, Rocknasium's Judd Van Sickle in third place. Morgan Stanley Cycling's Gregory Anderson taking second and taking the win. Team Specialized Racing Masters, Larry Nolan. In the Masters Men's Category 1-2-3s, Greg Bettanti riding for Safeway Bicycles plus Pure Red picking up the win. Michael O'Rourke, his teammate, also took second place as well. Look out, Team Safeway. Team Safeway, very powerful Masters team up there at the Giro de San Francisco. Cat 4, men's Masters 35 plus, Stan Boyle taking that win. Women's Category 3s in third place, Katie Kint riding for Dolce Vita. Second place going to Team iPass's Joanne Bechtel. And your winner from Dolce Vita, Michelle Melka. Women's Category 4s, picking up the win was Sybil Silberman. And that was the Giro di San Francisco. Full race results at usacycling.org for the Giro di San Francisco, September 6th, Labor Day. San Diego Multi-Park Marathon. This was a 50-mile race on 9/11 in San Diego, going through multiple parks. Long-distance mountain bike racing. Final results, beginner men's 15 through 18. Picking up that win was Dylan Maurer. Beginner men's 19 through 29, Milan Balsara picking up that win. And the beginners 30 to 39, Seth Graham rounding out the podium in third place. Matt Reeves, second place. And your winner, Brian Hong. He had a time of 5.02 and 20 seconds. Beginner men's 40 to 49. Mike Okamoto, third place. Jeffrey Main, second place. Jeff Jacobson getting the win with a 4.29.41. And in the beginner men's, Clydesdale, Dino De Laurentiis picking up that win. Beginner men's single speed, Joe Aldaco getting the win there. Imagine doing a single speed, one gear, 50 miles, ouch. Joe's time was a 5:27:44, quite respectable for a single speed on 50 miles of off-road cross-country mountain biking. And in the beginner women's, 19 through 29, Jean Wheeler getting the win with a 6:37:59. The expert men, 30 to 39, rounding out the podium, David Stainton, third place, Justin Hoblett in second, and Stuart Gonzalez picking up the win with 4:19:10. Expert men, 40 to 49, Alex Chervrat picking up that win. Expert men, 50 to 59, Dee Fulce, the 423-14. In the expert men's single speed, David Heckel with a 406-29. Screaming fast time for a single speed. Teams, there was team competition too out there in the 50-miler. Picking up the win in the team competition, Jeff and Katie Cambron. The time is 6:12:12. And in the pro men, third place with a 3:44:11, Doug Andrews. Second place with a 3:41:46, Brian Taylor. And your winner with 3:39:04, Guy Sutton. Pro men single speed, Aaron Hawk picking up that win with 4:18:24. And moving into the sport men, ages 19 to 29, Stuart Klott with the win there. Fabio Botalico with the win in the sport men, 30 to 34. Sport men, 35 to 39, Ed Price picking up that win. Sport men, 40 to 44, Darren Dodero. Sport men's, 45 to 49, Connell Tepper getting that win. And winning the sport men, 50 to 59, Todd Smith. Sportman 60 plus, Steve Finn getting that win. In the Sportman Clydesdale, Rob Wells was your winner. Sportman single speed, rounding out the podium, Michael Rammer, Robert Craddock, and the win going to Larry Dawsonberry. Sport women's 30 to 39, Ray Miller picking up the win. Sport women 40 to 49. Mary Danley with a time of 5:08:22. And in the sport wins, women's single speed with a time of 5:31:05, Catherine LaPointe was your winner. And again, that was the San Diego Multipark Marathon Cross Country, 50 miles on 9/11. Brought to you by Racers and Chasers. You can find out complete results and details at racersandchasers.com. Again, racersandchasers.com. 50-mile San Diego Multipark Marathon Cross-Country Mountain Biking.
Bike racing, the world's toughest sport. Imagine listening to the radio on Monday to hear the weekend's race news, or having a chance to call in and chat with an expert about our sport. Well, imagine no more. We are Bike Sport Radio. Tune in to KILL Radio for reports on the weekend's local race action and results. Hear how local clubs or teams are doing, or call in and chat with a guest speaker about the sport or some of its many products used. We cover road, mountain bike, cyclocross, and track cycling in Southern California, and are giving our fast-growing sport yet another media boost. Our studio is big enough for guests, and we have hosted a few notable ones. If you would like to be an in-studio guest, contact us. You can listen to Bike Sport Radio live or listen to an archive show at radioforall.net. Please donate at any level to us through the Kill Radio online link at www.killradio.org, or support Bike Sport Radio by linking us to your websites. Thanks for listening to Bike Sport Radio.
Okay, we got upcoming events. The big upcoming event next weekend is the opening of SoCal Cyclocross's race season, Cyclocross Racing. The Urban Cyclocross opens up on Sunday, September 19th, and this is a USA Cycling sanctioned race where you can get ranking points as well, and that's important to those of you riders interested in getting a good start position at this year's Cyclocross Nationals, which are going to be held in Bend, Oregon, on the West Coast. So we got a ton of interest in the wacky sport of cyclocross. The Urban Cyclocross starts Sunday, September 19th, and it is hosted by PV Grupo Ciclismo. It's a local cyclocross club held in the Palos Verdes area. Racing for juniors is free if you have an annual racing license. That's 18 and under. Juniors with an annual racing license can race for free at the Urban Cyclocross on September 19th. And there's also free kids youth races for 10 and under at 1:15. Our feature event, the Pro Men's race, is at 12 o'clock All details can be found at SoCalCyclocross.org. And a special thanks to Rackster Racks for helping to sponsor this event. Marathon, Snickers Marathon Bars, Hot Shop Bicycles, Design Clothing. They're doing the Series Winners jerseys, as usual. They have Series Winners jerseys for the overall Series Winners in all categories, brought to you by Hot Shop. Tech support on site will be provided by Sprocket Cycles, a new bike shop in the South Bay area. And Bike Sport Radio will be there covering some of the action at the opening race for Southern California Cyclocross, the Urban Cyclocross, September 19th. Details, again, at SoCalCyclocross.org. And if you register online through SportsBaseOnline.com, each time you register online is another chance for you to win the drawing, the annual drawing for a cyclocross frame through SportsBase Online. SoCalCyclocross.org. Be there September 19th. So we've got a special feature here coming up, some discussion about cyclocross by Mickey. Cyclocross by Mickey. He's going to talk about starts, what cyclocross means when you start, cornering, dismounts, how to do dismounts, remounts, finishing up your cyclocross race, and the whole thing. And, you know, he uses the word you know a lot, so, you know, just kind of ignore every time you hear another you know. I think I counted 16 you knows in 1 minute. But here's Mickey on cyclocross right here on Bike Sport Radio.
Cyclocross is, you know, compared to road racing or mountain bike racing, pretty short event. Depending on the ability level that you race, you're racing between half an hour, 45 minutes, or an hour. So, you know, compared to a 2.5 hour road race or mountain bike race, it's, you know, it's fairly short. The reason cross races are so short is because they're so intense and so brutal. You're pegged, you're on the limit the whole time. You're always accelerating, you're always cornering, you know, you're running, you know, there's all sorts of stuff happening. So we want to make sure today that we talk about how to, you know, save as much energy as you can, you know, go as fast as you can with the least amount of effort so that, you know, you have more energy at the end of that race so that you can really, you know, so you can really make it happen. And, you know, big way we're going to do that is talk about how to corner smoothly, how to survey a track to make, you know, to know where to really, you know, burn your matches. And, you know, just breaking down some of the fundamental skills that aren't quite so intuitive to seeing a course, cornering, and, you know, just having a successful event. Most important part of any cyclocross race is the start. You start with everybody else, you know, lined up on a couple rows. You know, you want to get there. If it's not a big race, just whoever gets to the start line first is going to be on the front row. So if that's the case, you want to be, you know, as close to the front of the race as possible, you know, when they fire off the gun to announce the start. You want to be in a gear that's good for you to start in. For me, it's usually my big gear and a couple down from my easiest in the back. That gives me a gear that, you know, is hard enough that when I first start sprinting on it, I'm going to get it up to speed. And then as we get going, I'm going to, you know, drop some more gears to get a harder gear. You want to figure out what foot works best for you to start with. For me, I prefer to have my left foot down. So, you know, I'll be on the start line with my right foot up in the air, anticipating the start. If you get to the race before your race starts and there's another race going on, try to watch the start to see what the protocol is that the person who, you know, starts the race goes through, so you can sort of anticipate when they're going to say go. It's not like there's a gate that opens or anything, you know, it's just someone says go, then everybody goes. And then, you know, you need to be as aggressive as possible through the start. You know, you get out of the saddle, really accelerate, and chase them through. Things that we can take, you know, from experience if we're mountain bike racers when we're riding cross, or sort of, you know, looking ahead, choosing good lines, riding hard stuff, being loose, all that sort of stuff. So as I ride through, you know, this little loop that we sort of come up with, I'm going to really focus on, you know, what my strengths would be if I was a mountain bike racer for riding cross. So that's, you know, my cornering, ability to get out of corners quickly and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, rough obstacles, terrain, dealing with, you know, the bike wanting to break loose and stuff like that is all going to be, you know, things that can help me go quicker, and, you know, things I can bring to the table from, you know, the sport that I participate in most of the year. You know, if I was a road racer, I'd be looking at, you know, some sort of different areas to really make my mark in the event. If you have a set of barriers that are at the bottom of a long hill that you have to run up, or, you know, just a long forced run section because it's sandy or muddy or something like that, anticipate what gear you're going to need to be in to accelerate before you get off your bike, because obviously trying to shift after you get back on your bike is going to waste speed. And if you're shifting while you're decelerating, you know, you're not wasting any energy. The other thing to remember is if it's a, you know, a steep run up and it flattens out right at the top, you probably don't just want to grab, you probably don't want to just jump right back on your bike right on the top. You want to accelerate over the top running or whatever and then remount. So normally what I do is, because I'm not very strong these days, I'm usually riding around my big chain ring and one of the easier gears. And, you know, depending on how flat it is and how fast I'm going to be going, you know, I'll shift down one or two gears to have that good gear to accelerate in before I get off my bike. And then when I get off my bike, I'm also going to try to make sure that, you know, if I get off with my left foot, you know, it's down all the way. But as I get off, that usually kicks my pedal back, so it's at a good angle to find when I jump back on my bike. Okay, so as I come at you, I'm going to get off my bike in slow motion. I've unclipped my right leg over, around the back. Here's I go across, stick my foot out, unclip the other foot, and start going. So, you know, it's a simple process. You just need to do it, you know, over and over again at different speeds and different conditions to really get used to it. But I'm going to come in this time through the set of barriers. You'll see a higher speed is a little bit more natural. So, you know, it's a nice, simple, smooth technique. You know, don't waste a lot of energy. And, you know, then when you get more advanced, you actually use the momentum of the bike to sort of pick it up and keep going. So if you don't get the start of your dreams, but you're a strong rider, you're probably going to need to pass people. You know, you need to figure out when's a good time to pass. A good time to pass is, you know, when everybody is, you know, sort of on equal footing, you know, where you've got a nice wide section of trail where, or, you know, road, and, you know, if you just pedal faster, you're going to get away from people. You can, you know, you can try to pass people going into corners by cornering faster than them and stuff like that, but, you know, that's just, there's so much risk involved with that, that unless you're a really precise and technical rider, you know, you might fall. So I'm going to ride between those trees over there, like they're a tight corner. I'm going to show you, you know, you can take different lines to get by people, but oftentimes it's going to hurt your momentum. So as I come around these trees, if I go wide and come inside like this, if this is my corner, so here I've come wide inside. If somebody's out here, I might be able to get past them, but I wasted so much energy slowing down to get inside this corner that I'm not going to be able to get past them. If I just followed them through the corner, carried more speed in this open section here that's, you know, going to the next corner, I'd just be able to maybe just sprint and pip right past them. So, you know, it's not motocross. You don't have a motor. Like, you can't just, you know, shut your bike down going into corners to get ahead of somebody for just a brief second, because, you know, bicycle racing is all about momentum. If you lose your momentum, that person's going to stay away from you. One type of corner that you might see more of than you might like on a cross course is a decreasing radius corner, a corner where the angle of the exit is a lot sharper than the angle that you go into it. So a corner like this, you can't just go into fully, you know, fully pinned. If you do, you end up going through the tape because you'll have to end up braking at the last minute. Cross bikes don't really like skidding and sliding around. They like to, you know, like a nice smooth arc through the trail. So it's the sort of thing where, you know, you can't really ride to a restroom. You can't try to pass through them or stuff like that because they tend to be narrow. There tends to only be one good line or arc through them. And you really need to, you know, exaggerate your weight shifts and make sure you do all your braking in a straight line. So as I ride through this corner over here a couple times, I'm, you know, increasingly quickly, you'll see how I have to really, you know, slow down in a straight line before I get to the corner and arc through it instead of trying to, like, you know, skid through it or something. So I'm going to start off by just riding through the same open corner I've been showing you before, which, you know, compared to the corner I'm about to ride through, it's a real piece of cake. So in this corner, I'm going to counter steer a little bit to open it up and go across it. And I really, you know, you really saw me moving my body back and forth to get my angulation good. So now I'm going to go through it quicker. And, you know, I'm going to have to do a lot more braking in a straight line to really get around it without, you know, going through the tape. You can hear my brakes chattering and stuff like that. So I'll try to do one more kind of smoother, quicker lap through there. And sometimes through those decreasing radius corners, you stick a foot out to change your center of gravity around. It's going to help you make it through there without having to brake. Like, if it feels like your bike's getting pulled to the outside of the corner, sticking a foot out the way you want to go is going to help you arc through there the other way. So it's hard to film the subtle weight shifts that go on when you're climbing a really steep climb, especially a loose one. You know, you're moving between the front of the bike and the back of the bike, you know, rocking back and forth a whole lot between, you know, trying to keep your front tire on the ground and then moving your weight back to keep the rear wheel from spinning. But basically, you know, on a cyclocross bike, the easiest way to get up a hill that's really hard is you have a lot of speed coming into it. You make sure that you take the corners before it real quickly. You arc them well and corner them well. And then when you get climbing, you know, you make sure that you look ahead. You look to the top of the climb. You know, because you've walked the course, you know what sort of rough stuff you have ahead of you. And then, you know, when you're ultimately on the climb and sort of struggling, what you have to deal with is like these slight, you know, these weight shifts between your front wheel. You know, mostly you want to ride over your front wheel to keep it down, and, you know, you get a nice open hip angle and stuff that way. And then, you know, as your back wheel starts to, you know, spin, you need to move back just that little second to counteract your pedal stroke. So sometimes you see you've got this sort of rocking motion going on a steep climb where you're moving up on, you know, the top part of the stroke, then moving back and up, sort of like rocking, keeping your elbows nice and bent and low just to force your tires into the ground. So, you know, the big thing to keep in mind is, you know, look for the smooth lines when you're walking the course. Carry your speed into the steep section so you don't have to pedal as much when you're on it. And then once you get to the, once you get up to the steep part where it feels like you're about to, you know, fall over, you know, really be sure to move your body weight back and forth if you need to keep your front tire on the ground, keep your rear tire from spinning, and to just sort of keep your overall momentum going up the hill. Cross bikes, you know, can take some good hits, some, you know, absorb some big bumps. You know, they're not mountain bikes. They don't have suspension. The tires are pretty small. But the main thing that makes you able to absorb a bump on a cyclocross bike is your body position. Lots of times, you know, we're in a park right now. There's an old horseshoe pit in front of me, little, you know, broken pieces of wood and stuff. So as I ride through here, you know, depending, I'm probably going to be going faster, but, you know, I want to absorb stuff, you know, want to absorb stuff by moving, you know, moving my arms up. I don't have to pick the bike off the ground, but move my arms up, you know, rise off the seat a little bit, you know, sort of hover above it when I'm riding through the rough stuff. And, you know, then when I get over it, sort of put my wheels down. So now I'm going to ride through this with some real speed. So I'll sort of ride across it, which is going to be harder because it's slippery, and go that way. And you'll see how I sort of absorb the bumps as I ride through. Also notice that, you know, I'm usually on the tops when I'm riding stuff like that. It makes it easier, because I'm not so stretched out, makes it easier to move my weight forward and backward, which is what you need to do when you're riding through a section like that. A good course designer will have you go around something like that and go through it. But if you're just out riding your bike in the woods, or, you know, also, you know, you just are faced with something like that on a race course, being able to just pump your bike through it is going to keep the wear and tear on your bike and body down significantly. Riding in the mud is probably one of the defining features of cyclocross as well. To go quick in the mud, or stay on your bike in the mud even, one of the big things you want to do is you want to ride a slightly larger gear than what you would normally ride on dry terrain, because, you know, the larger gear sort of, you know, your wheel spins a little bit slower, it's less likely to hook up, and putting that more pressure on the knobs of the tire helps it dig in and keep going. When you're cornering in the mud, you really need to be able to effectively, you know, move your body left and right to get your knobs to really hook up. You know, there's no mud here, unfortunately, or probably fortunately, since I don't have to wash my bike quite as much when I'm done. But the other thing to think about with mud is tire selection. I am running file tread tires today, which are great in this hard packed sand that I'm riding in, but in really, really sloppy mud, these tires actually work better than a more heavily treaded tire, because they clear the mud. And so, you know, if your tire just, you know, clogs up with mud because it has tight knobs, it's just mud on mud. That's not traction. At least with this, even though I don't have any knobs in the deep mud, at least I've got rubber on mud, which is going to be a little bit more traction, a little bit more like forward momentum than you'd have otherwise. Nothing is really more painful in cross than the start, than the finish. If you're doing well and you're in contention for something, that last lap or two of the race, that last 6 to 12 minutes can be incredibly, incredibly painful. It's worth it, though. I mean, you've put in all this time training, you know, you've gone all the way to this event, you know, it's worth it to, you know, put yourself out on the line, try to really finish strong. So there's a, you know, oftentimes cross races stay in small groups. If the group that you're in is looks like it's going to come down to a sprint finish, it's good to make sure to mark the person who looks like they're the best sprinter. You know, you never want to lead. You never want to be the first person into a sprint. And then it's good to know some techniques about sprinting. Like, probably maybe the only time you'll even get into the drops in a cross race is, you know, when you're sprinting. So, you know, in the drops, get low, get far forward, get nice and narrow. And then I'm going to show you a technique called a bike throw, which is sort of you move your weight back and throw your bike forward to get it across the finish line ahead of somebody. It gets you that extra inch that you need sometimes. So I'm going to come through and sort of demonstrate what a throw looks like. So, you know, I'm sprinting, I'm over the bars, I'm going fast, and then I just, you know, throw the bike forward like that, just as hard as I can. And that's often, you know, ask anybody who's ever won a sprint, they probably got it by having a better throw, being able to throw their bike farther than the other guy.
That was Mickey on cyclocross, and thanks, Mickey. Got that off of YouTube. Cyclocross season is fast approaching in Southern California and Northern California as well, so we'd like to thank everybody for listening today as Bike Sport Radio comes to a close, and remember, when you're out there, drive your bike just like you would a car. Big thanks to our call-ins, and join us on GoRadio.org. BikeSportRadio.us is our website, and we'll see you next time.